Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. It's that important to what we've got to say. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 20. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. The book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And all the eyes of the synagogue were fixed upon him. All the eyes of the synagogue were fixed upon him. You know, I would like to have had the opportunity to have just watched Jesus walk in that day. He had already performed miracles and his reputation had preceded him. For him to walk in, you know, every person was watching him. How he walked, when he stood up, how he stood, how he approached the reading, what we would call the pulpit, where he would unscroll and he would find that passage. They watched him while he read. They would also listen to everything he had to say. And then he stopped. He read that up to the point where he said, "To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he stopped. Rolled it back up. Now, when we say closed it, you know, they had it in a scroll, so it would take him a while to roll it back up tight, hand it to the attendant, and then he would sit down, and the people would be watching him. What's he going to do? What's he going to say? What is this guy like? You know, there's things in this passage that I would like for us to kind of grasp a hold of. But the main one is he was anointed to proclaim the good news. He was the chosen one who was to go out and give good news to the people. In that day, everybody knew about, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the day of God. And most of them would add a phrase onto that, because this actually kind of stops at a comma whenever you're reading it in Isaiah. And it just stops. But the last phrase of that passage says, and to proclaim the time of the vengeance of God, or the time or the day that God is going to bring vengeance upon the people. And he stopped right there to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Everybody had heard, especially according to the end times that was going around. Everybody likes to hear about the end times. People ask me about the end times. People ask me to teach about the end times. You'd be surprised. The most popular thing to ask me is, do our pets and dogs go to heaven? And the second is, tell me about the end times. Even back then, they understood the word, the day of the Lord, the end times. But here, when he stops, I mean, they go on, it's going to be a day of vengeance and a day of darkness. Blood boiling in the oceans, fire coming down out of heavens, pestilence, plagues. And he stopped before it got to that part that they had always emphasized. That's exciting. But this is the best part to proclaim. It was the good news to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Most of us, including myself, we really don't spend a lot of time looking at these words and what's going on here. They were looking at the sacred, at Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself. They were looking at Him and being in awe of Him and wondering what's going to happen now. And then He stands up and He says, to proclaim, to pronounce, to preach the favorable, or in the King James it says, the acceptable year of the Lord. And since we don't speak Greek, we miss a lot of the meanings of these words. It means more than, okay, this is acceptable, this is a good year. It means this, and this is from Thayer, and he's a Greek scholar, and I want to read this to you. The word acceptable is dektos. Dektos is Greek. And this is his way of communicating it to us. It denotes the most blessed time when salvation and free favors of God profusely abound. Let me repeat that. He was there proclaiming this. Today, this is the year. This is the starting point. And This is the acceptable year when is the most blessed time. Salvation is here, and free favors of God are going to profusely abound. That's what He came to proclaim. It wasn't the day of vengeance and the day of judgment. It was this idea that He had come to say, this is the best time to be alive. Now, like I said, after that, it talks about the judgment. And actually, if you get into it, you'll find out that that will happen also, but it'll happen when He comes back. When He starts coming back the second time, He will talk about the blood and the judgment and all the things that's worried those people back in the day and people now. That's all going to happen. But right now, He is proclaiming the blessedness of God. He is proclaiming the grace, the favor that is resting upon us. Now, I want to get this right. When He said, this is the time, this is the year, this is the starting point, this is the best time to be alive. I know it's the best time. People talk about, oh, I'd like to have been alive 100 years ago or 200 years ago. No, I like it right now. I like my air conditioning. I like my hot water. I like my antibiotics. I like my painkillers. I like my aspirin. I like my soda pop. I like all that stuff. They didn't have it 100 years ago. The blessings of God are increasing and increasing, and good things just keep coming to this world because now is the acceptable time. Now is the favorable time. Now is when Joseph Prince, I don't know if you guys ever heard, but when he talked about this, he says, this is the time that the blessings of God are abounding. We are swimming in the blessings. We are sloshing around in the free favor of God. To me, that just sounds great. We're in a time period where we're just sloshing around. There's so much favor of God. It's a great time to be alive. Can you imagine back in the day before Jesus came and you were under the law? You get one toe out of line, and some of those things could have got you killed. They had caught you eating bacon. You were in trouble. If they caught you picking up wood on the Sabbath day, you could be stoned to death. There are other. If you got sassy with your parents could haul you out in front of the judges at the front gate of the city and say, this is a snot-headed little... Let's kill him. And the judges would have said, it's legal. Haul them out and stone them. That's tough. We live in good times and we're sloshing around in it. But my question is this, and I'm sure yours is also, if that's true, and it is because the Word of God says so, why don't we experience all this favor that's supposed to be abounding around us? And the word abounding is an amazing word, which we'll get to later. But it's an amazing word what it actually means in the Greek. The nuance comes to us. It's abounding around us. Why don't we experience it at this time, right now in our lives? And how do we experience it? How can I get that in my life? Now, I would like to share this with you all. You can read Romans chapter 15. It talks, and we've been talking about the unity of the church. We've been talking about how, and that's the beginning of chapter 15, goes right on with what we've been talking about. There is no distinction as far as God's concerned. Remember the parable where He says, those people who were invited to the wedding party refused to come. Servants go out into the highways and the byways and compel, tell people to come in. And there was no differentiation, is what one of the parables says, between the good people and the bad people. They were all invited. Rich, poor, young, old, well, sick, smart, not so bright. All of them were invited to come in. And He said, come on in. We're going to have a party and you're going to be there when my son has this wedding because I'm going to have a full house. So He didn't differentiate and He said, church, you've got to realize you are a unit. We've all got to work together and you can't let any strata separate you from any other being, any other human who is a professed believer in Jesus Christ. And then He goes on to say this, and it's in verse 13. He says this statement, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." It sounds like a benediction, and a lot of times they say this is a prayer. But it's a statement also. And the word in the New American says, may. It's not there in the original Greek. It just says, now. Right now. You've been hearing the Word of God and you're reading what I've been telling you. Right now, because you accept it, and I know you're going to act on it. Right now, the God of hope fill you with all joy. The God of hope to fill you with all joy. And we all know what the word hope means. Right now, He will fill you with hope. And hope is what we know is on the horizon that is coming our way. We just haven't seen it yet. He says, He will fill you right now because you know there's good things coming. And He will fill you, and that filling will be joy and peace in believing. There is the catch. We will have joy and peace in the believing. And when we have that believing, it will abound to us. That hope, that joy, that's what it goes on to say. That it will abound, so that you will abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's the in believing that is so important. But we've been striving to believe. This is what believing means. Got to catch all the flavor here. Believing isn't pretending. It's not making it up. It's not wishing it were true. Believing is to affirm something with confidence. And it is used with, you affirm it with confidence in persuading oneself. You affirm something with confidence to persuade yourself. Believing is a choice. You choose to believe. Remember, it's not a fantasy. It's not, I choose to believe this fairy tale. It's, I am going to choose to believe the Word of God. How do we get there? How do we get to that point? Reflect. Think about. Go back. This is how you're going to do it. Say, I remember when God heard this prayer. I remember when God moved and protected me or protected my family member. I remember God, the time that He met a supply and I didn't know where it was coming and I was so upset and I was saying, please God, I need Your help. And He came through and wow, it was overwhelming. I've been talking to people who have experienced this and they said, you know, God is more active in Christians' lives than what they realize because they don't see the glory of God. They don't remember and they don't think about and they don't recognize when He meets and fulfills their needs according to their prayers. We need to reflect about on all the time that He has done something in our life and we know it's God. And then we need to say this, God does not change. He heard my prayers before. He will hear my prayers now. There is a statement of fact. In the Old Testament, it says, there may be crying or weeping in the night, but joy will come in the morning. You can say to yourself, even if you're miserable and times seem so dark in your life, you can say, this is a dark time. This is a night in my life. But my God says, joy is going to come in the morning. That is that hope that I haven't seen yet. I haven't realized it. I haven't experienced. But it's on the horizon. Just like the sun will come up in the east, my good days are coming too. Things are going to get better for me. I was talking to some people and they said, I don't see how any person can get so depressed that they would take their own life. And as you guys know, I do know. You can do it. You can get so focused on the darkness in your life that you do not remember the fact that there is going to be a new day dawning. There is going to be light in your life. And you just cannot comprehend that ever happening to you because you didn't focus on what you should have focused on. Your universe becomes just a swirl of worries. Just round and around and around, and right in the middle of all those worries is fear. It's a dark hole. and it just seems like everything's being sucked into it, and you have no hope. But we've got to, remember, belief is a choice. We've got to affirm with confidence what the Word of God says. Quit looking at fear and quit letting the worry swirl around you and say with statement of fact, God is here to deliver me. That's what Jesus came for. He came to proclaim good news to me, and that good news is healing, is deliverance, is salvation, is hope. Something very positive is coming my way. I've done that. You just keep doing it. It is to convince yourself on a personal level, to persuade oneself of something that is absolutely true, to affirm it with confidence. You keep banging away, even though your universe, your whole life seems to be swirling in worry and darkness. Quit focusing on that and instead turn away. That's repent. Change your mind. Say, I'm going to look at Jesus Christ. I'm going to stare right at Him and say, He is my Savior. He will not leave me out here in the darkness. And as you focus on Him, you will be drawn to Him more and more, and you will come into the light. I'm not saying that always happens instantly or quickly, but always say it with confidence. Here's a person you guys know, Anthony Hopkins. Sir Anthony Hopkins. Now, I guess the Queen of England knighted him. But years ago, and this, they were quoting him and had clips of things that he had said, and he said, you know, years ago, back in the 70s, he said, I was an atheist, I was an alcoholic, my life was miserable, it was a terrible thing, I couldn't get free from it, it was like a demon pulling me in all the time, the alcoholism and all the bad of my life just kept pulling me in, and he said, I was an atheist, I even went out and told, I'm an atheist. He says, I was at an AA meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous, and he said, I was there, and he said, something unusual happened for an atheist. This lady just turned around, and she said something like this to him. Why don't you just trust God and ask Him to deliver you? Amen. He said, I never had that thought before. And it was like, okay, I've tried everything else. I'll do that. And he said, God, I ask you to deliver me, and I choose to trust you. And his words was something like this. Pop! I never had the urge to take another drink in my entire life. I never had the urge to take another drink in my entire life. He became somebody who believed because he experienced, but he had that change of mind. He looked right at God and he said, I choose to trust you. Boom. He was out of it. Like I said, it doesn't always happen that quick for everybody, but any person who truly trusts, it will happen for you. Amen. Believing is to affirm with confidence something that you know to be true, and you persuade yourself, because the worries are going to keep nitpicking at you over and over and over again and try to tear you apart, and you just keep saying, no, this is what the Bible says. No, this is what the Word of God said. And that's exactly the way Jesus approached His issues with the devil. The devil tempted Him, and He said, the Word of God says this. The devil tempted Him again, and the Word of God, He said, says this. And the devil kept tempting Him. We know about three temptations, but it wasn't just exactly three. He was out there 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil was tempting Him. And we know He was quoting Scripture, and He kept saying, I affirm with confidence what the Word of God says. You know, I don't know if you guys know Corrie Ten Boom, but one of the things that she said, and I do like this, she said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. If you look at Christ, you will be at rest. Now, I want you to understand some of these words. The word hope, remember, is something that you know for certain. It's a positive that's on the event horizon. It's coming towards you. Joy means to be delighted. Joy means to be delighted. And then peace is peace of mind. to be distracted, and the root word for distracted means to be pulled apart because your mind is going different ways. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I don't know what to do. I'll try this. No, that won't work. I'll try this. No, I don't know. And your mind is pulled apart. And that's what distracted means. But the word peace actually means, the root of the word peace means to tie up together into a whole. The peace of God, the peace that will come to your mind, is He will pull all those little bits and worries and pieces of your mind that's distracting you, and He'll say, I'll pull them together and I'll bundle them up and I'll tie them together, and you will have peace of mind. You will not be pulled apart. Remember that. You will not be pulled apart. So now, while I'm going to read this again, He sent to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. We are sloshing about in that favor. And then once again, over in Romans 15, verse 13, I want to add that on there. Now may the God of hope, a positive that's coming your way, it will fill you with all joy, delight, and you will have your mind pulled together when you believe. When you convince yourself of a fact that you know to be true because it's the Word of God, then you will abound. And the word does abound has more than just, oh, you'll have a lot. It means you will have leftovers. You will be given so... Remember when Jesus was feeding the 4,000 and the 5,000? When they passed the fish out and then they gathered it all together, it talked about how many baskets they had left over. And that's the idea of abounding. When God hears you and you are acting in faith, He responds by giving you everything you need and then more. Those leftovers are there not only because they shared them with people, and then they still had leftovers after that. That's the way our God is toward us. When we come to the place and we say, I will accept what God says, and I will affirm what He says, and I know it to be true. I finally come to the position that I know it to be true, and I will be at rest. And in abounding, I will abound in that positive hope, and it will be by the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells me. If you want to slosh around in the favor of God, affirm with confidence what the Bible tells us is true, and keep at it until you're fully persuaded and you know what it says, and you'll see that hope start to come towards you, just like the sun is rising in the east. You'll see that pre-dawn light, and then you'll see the sun just come right up. And your darkness will fade away, because where there's light, darkness is chased away. And the light will shine in your life. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we lay hold to what this Scripture is teaching us. Always take us to the Scriptures that we know so that we can affirm and convince ourselves what it says and keep going over. That's what it says. And keep standing firm when the devil tries to tear us apart. We'll keep saying, that's what it says. That's what it says. That's what it says. Father, we thank You. We thank You for all that You've accomplished in our life. Help us to look back and remember, that was God. And that was God. And He's never left me, nor has He forsaken me. And I will stand firm on what He knows. And I will trust Him all the way. No matter what, I will continue to trust Him. Because sometimes it's just not what I quite thought. But no matter what, I will choose to trust Him. In Jesus' name, I ask that blessing upon us, just like Paul proclaimed it upon the Romans. In Jesus' name, amen.